Peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, today, as you've noticed, we've been singing the Ten Commandments. We've heard the Ten Commandments read. And as Pastor Elliott said, it's common to preach on the Ten Commandments during Lent. What I've never done before is preach on all Ten Commandments in one sermon, but there's always a first for everything. And I don't think we'll be here past noon today. So let's begin. Do you remember about 6 years ago, there was this judge in Alabama, and his name was Judge Roy Moore, and he was required to move the Ten Commandments out of his courtroom. He had set up a granite display there, a monument, and someone complained and filed suit. So they were removed for a time. But fortunately, this went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they decided that he was free to display them in the courtroom. Now, Christians were upset about this, and I can see why we would have a little trouble with that, because it's really hard to think that all of our laws that we have today have no context and no influence over the Ten Commandments, which were given some 3,000 years ago, and for the last 10,000 years have been such an influence over the laws that developed in the western half of the world in which we live. And most of the government problems we face today seem to have a connection with the Ten Commandments, in that whether we want to continue following the Ten Commandments or not. People don't want religion interfering in government and how we govern ourselves, but then people complain when others like Bernie Madoff take people's money and then lie about where it went. And yet we don't want commandments in government. We don't want laws to prevent a mother from ending her unborn child's life, but we don't understand why so many teenagers are despondent, some even to the point of taking their own lives, and we wonder why there's such meaninglessness among our young people. But perhaps the greatest tragedy of the Ten Commandments in America is that we Christians do not live by them the way even our grandparents did in their lifetimes. So in the interest of our country's welfare and for the betterment of ourselves, let's review the Ten Commandments briefly this morning. Now, starting out, the first three commandments have to do with our relationship towards God. And the first commandment sums it all up by saying, "I am Lord your God, have no other gods before me." Now, the Hebrew here, "before me," means in my face or in my presence. And so it's as if God were saying, keep these false gods away from me. If you want to be near me, then stay away from the false gods. So if we want to have God in our lives, then we should refrain from any kind of presence with the false gods. Now we think, oh, that's easy. I don't worship any other gods. I don't bow down to idols like people were tempted to do in Old Testament times. But Martin Luther, our church's namesake, would say, oh, really? He said, a god is what you look to in for all good and to whom you go for refuge in times of need. And that's the problem with the false gods, because we go to them willingly, thinking that if I just follow this thing or this person and I give my devotion to it, I'll be happy. But they lie to us. They promise us happiness, contentment, and fulfillment, but in the end, the false gods can't deliver. And it doesn't matter what you set up as your false god or what you gravitate towards, whether it be money or popularity or good health, or power over other people, or influence, or just luxury and not having to do a lot of work. Whatever you look to help you in your time of need, if it isn't the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it won't be able to help you in the end, especially when you exit this life. It has lied to you. So we do well not to follow the false gods. Now, in relation to this commandment, as we read this morning, God said, don't make any images of the false god. And he said that he is a jealous God. Now, jealousy is okay, when God is jealous about us because he made us and we belong to him. And if we go off and follow another God, it's good that he loves us and wants us back. He's the one that we should serve. So we do well not to serve anyone or anything else as a God. Now, as the first commandment tells us about who our God is, the second commandment talks about how we should speak of him. When it says, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain or worthlessly. I like to watch these shows on TV where they come to a family that's having trouble and they fix up their house, remodel it, and rebuild it. But what I don't like about those shows is so often the reaction of the people and how they show their gratitude. Every room they go into, you know what they say. Oh my God, it's so beautiful! In tears. No one ever taught them that the name of God is not an exclamation point at such times, but it's a name, a holy name, that we should call upon when we want to praise God or ask him for something. Cursing is the same. When we ask someone or something to be sent to damnation and to hell because we're upset with it. That's not what God's name is for. He gave us his name, his precious name, to pray to him and to praise him. But the worst violation of the second commandment of God's name is false teaching. Because false teaching about God can lead someone away from the salvation that Jesus went so far to give to us. And so we do well to keep our doctrine, our teaching about God, pure at all costs. That means education, continually studying God's word and hearing preaching and reading the Bible together. And the third commandment is related to that as well, that we should keep the holy day sacred. Now, that doesn't mean that we're here on the wrong day, because everybody knows the Old Testament Sabbath day was Saturday, and we're a day late this morning. We recognize that these ceremonial laws of the Old Testament about what days to worship, and the Old Testament festivals, and the sacrifices, and the dietary laws that all of the Jewish people were required to follow under the Old Covenant, have been fulfilled by Jesus. He has kept them for us, and Jesus is our Sabbath rest. So now we are blessed to take time to come and listen to God. And since earliest times, this morning was recognized as the first day of the week and therefore the best day that we have to offer to God. We begin our week today with worship and hearing God's word. We come for preaching and the sacraments. And we come to hear that sweet gospel of how God in Christ was crucified, died, and rose again for us on a morning just like this. When something else becomes more important than coming together as God's family like we are today to hear his word, then we have found our false God, whatever that thing is, and it must be taken off its throne or its altar, and we come back to worship the true God. Now, at this point, the commandments move on to talk about our relationship to the other people that God puts around us in our lives. And it begins with our family. We call this the second table of the law. But the commandment, the fourth commandment, says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you may live a long life on the earth. We are to honor our mother and our father. I think that is deserving of a little extra emphasis today, that fathers, you are still a part of God's plan for the family. We are to honor both the mother and the father, but it goes on from there to honor the government that God places over us. We're to honor it even if we don't always agree with what it does or what it says. We are to obey our government where we can as a Christian, following God first, and we are to pray for our leaders. And I think that our leaders need prayer today more than any other time in history. Now, the fifth commandment has to do with murder. Now, before all of you think that you're safe on this commandment, you haven't been incarcerated for murder, and you haven't killed anyone, we got to remember that not only are we not to hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but we're also to be of help and to support our neighbor in every way that we can. And there's a lot of good that we could be doing right now to help other people who are in need. Are we as eager to do that, to help other people, as we are to lock up those people who hurt other people? The sixth commandment has largely been forgotten by Americans. You shall not commit adultery. Now, this is not aimed only at married people who can't keep their hands off people that they're not married to, but it's also for the unmarried and the young people. We are all, young and old, to keep ourselves sexually pure. The gift of sex is God created, and it is a good thing, but it is to be enjoyed in the relationship of marriage. Now, we recognize that human desires are so strong that they can be channeled into just about anything and all kinds of various ways and practices. But the gift of marriage between one man and one woman is just exactly that. It is God's gift to us, and we are to honor the things that God provides to us. It is intended to be between one man and woman for the rest of their lives. Adultery is just counter to that. It is directing that affection to someone that is not your spouse. And the affection that belongs to your spouse, you give it to someone who is not your spouse. Now, Jesus taught us to take this commandment seriously when he said, everyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I think that if Hollywood took sex and indecency out of movies, we'd have a real economic collapse, because what would all these actors be doing when they're out of work? It seems that, to me as a pastor, and I know Pastor Elliott could probably relate to this just as agreeingly as I do, that every other couple that comes to get married to the church today is already living together. And we would be not fulfilling our task as preachers of the word if we skipped over the part in the scriptures that says that this is sinful. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. He said, it's better to lose part of your body than to end up in hell. Jesus meant business with this commandment, and we do well, each one of us, to take it seriously ourselves, that sex is a good gift, but it is to be honored by keeping it in the relationship of marriage. The seventh commandment has to do with stealing. Now, you may have not burglarized anyone lately, but this commandment applies to you just the same as the others. Have you always helped people to hold on to their property? One thing I like to do as a hobby is to help people fix up their house. I kind of like helping people spend their money instead of mine. And they seem to like to have somebody do free work. So once in a while, we get together and help people to fix up their houses so they can continue to live there and keep it as an investment. But this applies also to your employer as well. After all, your employer pays you for your time so you can work for him and devote your time to the things that he needs to get done for the business. When we waste time at work, aren't we stealing from our employer the time the boss pays us to devote to him? And who hasn't done that? The eighth commandment, I think, is the hardest for us Lutherans, that we should not pass false teaching, or rather, false words about our neighbor. We wouldn't admit to lying to our friends, would we? We wouldn't do that. But will we pass on information that's hurtful about somebody else that might harm their reputation to other people? Oh, you bet. We do that all the time. And we say to ourselves, well, I know it's true, so it's okay to speak about it. You know, if I don't know it's true, then it might be gossip. But the Lord says that we should not pass on any information that's hurtful to others. What are we to do? Well, Jesus says, if your brother sins, then you go to him and you tell him about it. He doesn't say, go and tell other people what a terrible person he is, because when you do that, you are sinning just as bad as the person and whatever they did against you. We should go to them ourselves in the hope that they will repent and they will call upon God to forgive their sins and be forgiven. Now, if we can't do that, if we can't approach that other person, then we should just forget about it. We should put it behind us, forgive them, and not address it at all. We should all ask forgiveness on this, because this is a most grievous sin that we often pass over in ourselves. Now, the last two commandments, the ninth and tenth, have to do with our desire for other things or people. Now, it's okay for us to look at a pretty girl and say, boy, is she nice looking. Or a handsome young man, someone might say, boy, he just looks so nice. Or to see somebody else's property and say, that's a really nice place to live or a nice car to drive. But when that observation moves to desire and we want someone or something to possess that can never be ours, then we are coveting. And this is what we should repent to as well. So friends, if you've been listening carefully to this sermon, then I'm sure that you are feeling a bit of guilt now, here as we've just been through the commandments at this point. Because if we apply the Ten Commandments the way Jesus taught them, they do their job upon us. And they make us see that we are poor, miserable sinners, as we confessed to God this morning at the beginning of the service. We've broken all 10 of them and more, again and again and again and again. Because the Ten Commandments, they deal not only with the outward act doing, but they also apply to our thoughts and our desires inside ourselves, and they point those out as sinful. Maybe that's why some people don't like them displayed in public. They don't like to be reminded of that. But God is merciful. He sent Jesus to suffer and die in our place. And though he was the only person who kept all of the commandments in the way that God gave them, he took our punishment upon himself, the punishment we deserved. When we believe this, then we are credited as righteous, even though we are not. God says that we are forgiven and we are without sin, just as if we had kept them all as perfectly as Jesus did. So it is good that we learn and honor and obey the commandments, so that as forgiven sinners, others may know what is good and pleasing to God. It is well that we continue to read them for ourselves and examine our lives by them, so that we can always be looking to God for his love and forgiveness that he continually pours out. It is good that we seek in whatever ways we can to teach them to our children and the young people who are growing up, so that they will obey them even better than we did in our lives. May God grant us this grace to follow his word and through it to see our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.